Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I've been rethinking how I style the smallest spaces in my house this summer. Instead of stressing over what won't fit, I've been looking at tons of versatile styles from Bob's Discount Furniture that actually multitask. Whether you're working from home or hosting guests, take that Betty dining set, for example. When it's just me, it's a compact, space-saving setup with a super comfy Bobapedic seats. But it extends in a snap when company arrives. It comes in four fun colors, boasts over 1,500 five-star reviews, and at just $5.99 for a seven-piece set, you'll actually have a budget left for the dinner party. And if you love that retro chic vibe, they also have the Betty Bedroom Set featuring gorgeous felt-lined storage drawers and another 1,500 five-star reviews. Or if you just want to lounge, check out the Phantom Power Reclining Sofa. It's packed with cup holders, charging ports, and Bobapedic cushions without taking over your whole living room. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, 247 Sports, 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports' own Joe DeLeon. Good day, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Not as excited as you already. Messing up the buttons.
Buttons over here. I can't take myself off of mute. But, I mean, look, we hit the live button. We're told we're going live, and all of a sudden someone texts us and like, hey, you're trending. I'm like, what? And I'm like, I couldn't contain myself.
It's been a surreal day. This has been something that we've been obviously working towards, getting to be a part of a big national brand, legacy brand in the space. And we have been working really closely with Adam Stanko, who's helped us and given this this awesome, awesome chance to represent 24/7 Sports. And we're going to do it to the greatest degree, Blake. We're really excited. It was nice to take a couple of days off, and then to come out with the bang that we did today on Monday was a really, really cool moment.
Yeah, first and foremost, let's start off with this. In case you missed it, Joe and I, and along with AYS, has signed a partnership with 24/7. I keep saying 247. 24/7 Sports and CBS. And Joe, just being a little bit transparent here, this is something that has been going on for a while. We have been talking with Adam Stanko and Kevin Ryan for quite some time. And look, man, I've been thinking about what I wanted to say for about 2 weeks, you know, and because for me, and I know for you, this has been something that has been going on for a little bit more than a decade. You know, when I got married, the only person that believed that I could do this was my wife. You know, my groom's cake was an AYS cake. That's before Ruffino and Joe show was even thought about. Mm. And so, you know, I had family members, I had friends, I had people telling me that, what are you doing? This will never work. This is not going to sustain. You can't do this. As Joe just accidentally exits out. But regardless, it was something that was pretty hell of a way to start our 24/7 campaign, as Joe's, I guess, internet or something happened. But it was definitely a emotional roller coaster over the last couple of weeks. So just to say this, I want to thank Adam Stanko. I want to thank Kevin Ryan for believing in us and wanting us to be a part of the team. For all of those who, what happened?
Internet decided to not work on the biggest day of the biggest show that we've done.
I mean, I'm in the middle of an emotional rant and you leave and it's just like, you didn't even want to be a part of it. You didn't want to listen to it anymore.
Well, I think Tide Talk is correct here, that the news was just too much for me to handle.
News was too much. But in all seriousness, I want to thank Adam Stanko. I want to thank Kevin Ryan. I want to thank the Drake Williams Law Firm for being there for us through this entire process. You know, there were a lot of nights and a lot of days that I was on the phone and we were on the phone with Adam Stanko working through all of this. And look, they took a leap on us and we're not going to let them down. You know, the one thing that I will rather die than to let them down now, because they took a chance on us and we became partners in all of this process. And we're just very excited to be a part of this team. And we're looking forward to dominating this college football space.
And the one thing I'll also add with this too, we have so many listeners, whether it's the ones in the Discord that very excitedly were messaging us and asking, hey, where are you guys going? Where are you guys going? And we sadly, we couldn't tell them until a little bit before the announcement came out, because we didn't really fully have the timing of it working out to the degree that we were hoping for. But the other part too is that we've got so many people that come in on every single show that are here every single week. And this show doesn't grow the way that it does, that it gets on the radar of decision makers at big companies like this to have been able to accomplish what we have. If it's not for everybody showing up and constantly being here, constantly being in the comment section, hitting the like button on every single video, being subscribed to the channel, watching everything that we put out. So we're beyond grateful for everything. And this is just, again, it's been a surreal moment that we finally get to be official after we've known that this was coming for some time.
I want to say this as well. We are not here without the listeners. If people don't like our content, if people did not believe in us, Joe, we wouldn't be here. So to the 30,000 people that have subscribed to Ruffino and Joe Show, and to all of those that will continue to come on board with us as we continue, we thank you. To all of those who either agree or disagree, love and or hate us, we are forever grateful for you being a part of this show. Again, we do not make this without you. It does not exist without you. So really and truthfully, we are signing a new deal. We have signed a new deal. We have become partners with 24/7 Sports. We have become partners with CBS, and it is a big day, and we can't thank all of you from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us to be in this position. Joe, you and I are blessed. I'm sure that there are people that are going to be watching this episode and watching the show wanting to do what we do, and this is what I'd say before we move on. Then do it. You know, Joe and I had full-time jobs when we first started doing this. We had full-time jobs. I mean, I was doing something in public service. You have been a producer for a long time. And I remember the first day that you and I talked about this. And I said, you were like, I'm a producer. I'm like, bull crap, you are. You need to be on air talent. You're too good at this. And I think that just our hard work has paid off for us to be here. So to the fans that listen to us, to Adam Stanko and the 24/7 Sports team, to CBS, to Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams, to everyone that made this possible today, we thank you so much, and we're glad to be a part of it.
And I think you bring up a good point that everybody that's some of the big faces in the industry that have preceded us, like Josh Pate's a really good example of someone who
couldn't have done this without him. If we're just being, we could not have done this without him. And I know he might not like me saying that, but too bad, Josh. We couldn't have done this without him because he was in our corner the entire time too.
Yeah, and to have somebody like that who's preceded us and kind of set this precedent that you don't need to come from the normal means to build a media career these days. To your point, for anyone who wants to create a path for themselves, it's easier than ever. It requires a crap load of work, but there aren't those same barriers. I remember when I was in school and I tried to explain to this old ass professor that I had that was in his 60s. He's retired. He was a producer for the Olympics at NBC. And I tried to explain to him, well, I want to try and do a podcast and I want to do video for it. And this guy basically tried to tell me, like, no one's going to watch that. Why would anybody watch that? That's a terrible idea. Why would you do that?
Todd Graves.
Well, lo and behold, we literally did this. And because I didn't listen to other people and that I had to go and work at a local station in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, the fact that we just said, screw it, we're going to break through every barrier. We're here now and we're excited for what we're going to continue to do. And again, everyone's support means a lot to us.
Absolutely, Joe. I couldn't have said it better myself. And we're glad to be powered and partnered with our good friends over at 24/7 Sports. And listen, here's what I'll say. Joe and I are going to be on the message board. And I would just say at about probably 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, if you're an LSU fan at least, think you need to head on over to Go 247. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Speaking of our good friends over at 24/7 Sports, they have given us a deal for all of you. So a 60% off of your annual VIP membership if you use the promo code RJ60. Do you have a favorite team? What is that favorite team? Do you want to be plugged in with all of what everything 24/7 Sports has to offer? If you want a promo code, here it is for you. RJ60. Go follow your local team. Be up on recruiting. Be up on all of the news on every single little thing, not just in individualized teams, but from a national perspective, as Joe and I deliver for you with friends like Tom Loy, Cooper Patagna, and all of those. You can use that promo code RJ60 to get 60% off of your VIP membership. We're glad to be powered and partnered by our good friends over at 24/7. I always say 247, so I'm having to recondition my mind here.
But yeah, 24/7 Sports.
Our good friends over at 24/7 Sports. All right, Joe, let's get rolling here, because while we were away, there was a lot of news that did happen. Brendan Sorsby's back into the news. Joe, just to give a quick update for those who also missed it, Brendan Sorsby obviously has been in the news in reference to a lot of the things going on with his gambling, him checking himself into rehab, all those things that we've talked about. With that part being said, Brendan Sorsby has also hired Jeffrey Kessler, who was one of the attorneys that was a part of the House settlement case, to, I don't want to say fight the NCAA, but it sounds as if that they want to come to some form of compromise before the NFL's supplemental draft. Joe, as this now has taken a new step and a new avenue and a new direction, what are your thoughts about Brendan Sorsby? And it seems as if going and getting Jeffrey Kessler is not a small feat. The guy that was a part of the House settlement case is a big-time deal. It's like getting Tom Morris for eligibility. What are your thoughts in reference to Brendan Sorsby and what's going on and him trying to fight the NCAA on this?
Well, you just brought up like the really good example here of Tom Mars is the guy that you usually go to if you want the premier big name in order to fight for extra eligibility or whatever it might be. Mars has been at the forefront for Harbaugh. He has been at the forefront for a lot of big eligibility cases. Kessler, for this circumstance, Sorsby and his team understand that they're going to war. They are going to war with the NCAA, trying to figure out how they can at least save some sort of eligibility, end up saving him for the upcoming supplemental draft in order to resolve this whole circumstance. Whatever ends up being depicted for what occurred with Brendan Sorsby, Kessler is the biggest target for you to go after to be able to represent Brendan Sorsby. You mentioned the fact that Kessler represented, he was the lead litigator in the House case. He set a precedent for how college athlete compensation is going to look for decades in the future. It completely changed the landscape as him going head to head with the NCAA being a prominent antitrust attorney. Like, my first thought that comes with this and him having been in situations of representing players that were going through serious, serious punishments with the leagues that they were playing. And he represented Tom Brady, Zeke, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, the Saints with Bounty Gate. While all those haven't been successful, he is somebody who is capable
The Saints one kind of was. The only thing was Sean Payton. Everybody else didn't get suspended that they thought was going to be, but sorry to interrupt you, but still.
Right, but to this point, where, like, you know, Ray Rice ended up, his career was effectively done after the fact. That Tom Brady's circumstance didn't go as I think the way that they probably would have hoped, but still were able to protect Tom Brady to some degree.
Right.
I wonder if Kessler's involvement in this, that one, how the NCAA feels about it. I'm sure that the minute that they saw his name pop up, that they were thinking, oh, crap, now we have to deal with this guy again. But most importantly, does he use this as some sort of precedent-setting moment? I don't know what that's going to look like. He bet while playing at Indiana on Indiana. I think that that is going to be very, very difficult to make the argument that Sorsby was not doing something that he wasn't supposed to, that is considered to be one of the worst possible
crimes as an active athlete. But I do wonder if there is going to be an aggressive push by Kessler here to diminish the penalties for athletes, college athletes that do decide to bet on sports outside of the ones that they're playing. There's just so many different directions that this can turn to. Kessler's name was not one that I was expecting to see.
We haven't made it 15 minutes and I'm about to disagree with you here.
Okay.
Can I tell you, I don't completely disagree with you.
Okay.
Did you find it interesting that they didn't admit, like they didn't say that Brendan Sorsby didn't do it? Like in their statement, they're already admitting guilt. Like when you hire Jeffrey Kessler, I was expecting a statement to come out saying, oh, hey, we didn't do that. Or at the minimum, oh, okay, yeah, but. Like they didn't give me a yeah, but.
Well, like, he's got the murder weapon. So like, I know, sorry, well, that's an extreme way to say it. Like there's too much evidence. I shouldn't have said it that way. There's too much evidence that
you're like he can protect on day one. Way to go.
No, but I'm just saying that it's like being shocked that like he's at the scene of the crime and that there's too much evidence for him to pretend like he didn't do something.
No, you're 1,000% right. But that's the point. To what you just said is the point. And it's why they are trying to come down with a compromise. It is why they are trying to come down with a compromise that legitimately says, hey, NCAA, the supplemental draft's going to be in mid-July. We need to get a decision and make a ruling on this. Is he going to be suspended for 6 games? Do you want 8 games? Joe, are they going to be able to get to court within the supplemental draft time? Is Brendan Sorsby going to be okay with sitting out potentially an entire year if he doesn't go into the supplemental draft and has to wait an entire year before anything happens? See, time is on the NCAA side. And let me bring this up too. As much as the NCAA has been fighting the eligibility cases, as much as they've been trying to sustain power and get and grab the power that they lost over the last 5 years, as the NCAA has been trying to grab that power back, why would they give him a 6-game suspension? Why would they agree to an 8-game suspension? If I'm the NCAA, you know what I'm doing? I am postponing any legal court case and saying that I have other things going on until the supplemental draft is over. Make your decision. Why would I want to give you what you wanted when you started placing bets on games? I am going to ask for a continuance until the middle of July and say we have other things going on and see what he does. The ruling of Brendan Sorsby may come out well before now that they have a preliminary injunction, but in that, if I'm the NCAA, why would I not let time play on my side? Because the truth of the matter is, we're in May. If are we going to have a court case by the middle of July so that he can make a decision? And I just don't understand. Number one, as we've said before, I don't think that he's ever going to play again in college athletics. I don't.
It's not possible.
I don't think it is possible. With that part being said, if you're the NCAA, this is what I think they're going to do. Why wouldn't you come out there and make a public statement? No, we're not going to agree to anything with you. His eligibility is gone. We have the murder weapon. By the way, you conceded it. You conceded it in a lot of ways in saying you didn't come out and say he didn't do it. You didn't come out and say, yeah, but you came out and you stated, okay, what can we agree to? So if Jeffrey Kessler, the biggest antitrust attorney in the United States, wants to come out there and isn't fighting back coming out of the gate, if I'm the NCAA, why wouldn't I fight that? And Joe, I just think that this is over. I mean, does Jeffrey Kessler want to fight this and to have publicity for it? I'm sure that he does. But if you're Brendan Sorsby, are you going to allow and wait and pass the supplemental draft? I mean, Joe, you do draft stuff. If he doesn't play this year, see a first round pick?
Probably not.
Okay.
So, to jump in on that, my co-host for my other show, Ryan Roberts, spoke to a league source, a scout in the NFL. And in order for the supplemental draft to occur, the NFL has to agree to it. The NFL has to agree to, we want this player, or enough teams want this player, so we will hold a supplemental draft. And wherever he gets picked, a team will end up selecting him. They will then forfeit their draft selection in whatever round it is for the upcoming year. The league source that Ryan
published a piece on it this morning, indicated that he doesn't believe that there will be a supplemental draft. This league source believes that the NFL, with how they have tried to equal to what the NCAA has done, be extremely against players who actively place bets on the sport that they're playing, the way that they've handled it in the past, that they wouldn't want to get involved with this. It would be a very messy and complicated situation that the NFL, I'm sure, probably does not want to be attached to. So that is one aspect of this, is the supplemental draft keeps getting brought up. It's unclear, and this is just one individual in the league stating this, but there's a real chance here that Sorsby could be out of options. Hence why I think that why Kessler's involved, they probably started asking. They probably started asking league sources of, would your team consider taking Sorsby? And if enough no's were on the table, that they wanted to get involved with somebody who has actually been successful going to war against the NCAA.
Well, to your point, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say my biggest take with this, the minute that Kessler got involved, and I know this isn't really much of a take, I feel like I know even less about what's going to happen here, because Kessler really muddles this entire thing. And then the context that Ryan's brought up, I have no idea. Are they going to try and keep his eligibility? Are they going to be able to get an answer in a ruling from the NCAA in enough time that he can make this decision by the end of June that he has to deliver if he's intending to enter the supplemental draft or not? Like, I just feel like Kessler now complicates this thing more than I thought it was.
Oh, well, he definitely complicates. I mean, Joe, go back 1,000 episodes ago of us having massive debates about the House settlement case.
Yeah.
What do you mean he muddles it? He does more than that. I mean, he could set a precedent just like he did with the House settlement case. Hold on, pause. Just so we're all understood. If he finds a way, because this is not what nobody's talking about this. What happens if he wins? What happens if a precedent gets set that he wins and there's and what do I mean by win? What I mean by win is, what if he gets suspended for 6 games? You mean to tell me Texas Tech, with that soft cupcake having schedule, can't go 5-1? And even if they go 5-1 in that entire process, Sorsby comes back and they can't go on a run? I mean, my whole thing has been the big thoughts that I've had. What is that locker room going to be like? Does that locker room trust Joey McGuire that they didn't do their due diligence? Are they mercenaries, hiring mercenaries at will? I think that's what it's really telling people, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. But he definitely muddles it. Again, watch and look and read at the House settlement case about where college football currently is. With that being said, however, Joe, I've seen people, not a lot, but some, who have said since Kessler's gotten involved, you know, big-time reporters around college football who have said, oh, he's going to make this interesting. What is he specifically going to make interesting? Now, I agree with you on all of those things, the House settlement case and what he did there and how he changed college football. Are we going to allow, and as a college football nation, are we going to allow this to stand if he gets a 6-game suspension? Because what does that really say? Yeah, I might get slapped on the wrist. Joe, a 6-game suspension is a slap on the wrist for this kid. He's betting on games that he's playing in. Well,
Hold on. He didn't bet on games that he's playing in. He bet at the school that he was playing at when he was not playing.
Correct. But he knows the injuries. He knows what's going on with his team to place that bet. But you're right. Thank you for correcting me.
Yes.
So, I mean, again, he's sitting behind home plate in Cincinnati placing bets on balls and strikes.
That aspect of the aspect of it, and this is why I'm kind of wondering how Kessler's involvement could reshape this stuff that he's going to push to try and change the punishment system for, which the NCAA almost did this in 2023, that athletes are allowed to bet on other sports, but they just can't bet on college athletics, the sports that they participate in. And then eventually there was such a resounding push to go backward on that rule change. I'm wondering if Kessler tries to make those changes, because, like, at the end of the day, I think that it's fine and acceptable for a 20-year-old with all of
the sports betting advertising that happens these days. I don't think there's anything wrong with a 20-year-old that's got plenty of expendable income to go to a baseball game and to bet on balls and strikes. If he wanted to bet on the Houston Texans to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
But in the current rule, however, to your point, it is egregious. So where I agree with you morally, right? Because we agree,
Kessler's probably going to try to argue that other leagues have a different standard, and the NCAA should not have such a different standard. That's probably what he's probably going to try and argue.
I don't think that they're gonna waiver. Why should they? This is a great opportunity for the NCAA to grab back power. Now, you said something earlier about the NFL that I wanted to get to. You mean to tell me Roger Goodell isn't trying to, and I'm going to use these words very carefully. Do you think that Roger Goodell hasn't picked up the phone to all 32 teams and say, listen, we have got to be very, very careful here on how we deal with Brendan Sorsby? Why? Well, they're partnerships. What does, and I'm just throwing out randoms, but what does Caesars, what does FanDuel, what does BetMGM, what does DraftKings, what do all of those people that they potentially have deals with or future deals with, Joe, what is the ramifications on how the NFL deals with this in a massive partnership? There's two ways that those partners can deal with this. Hey, we don't want anything to do with Brendan Sorsby. It makes us look bad. And if you've noticed, do you know which one he was using the most? What betting platform was he using the most? You don't know, because it hasn't been reported on. So you mean to tell me that you have the metadata for every one of his bets, over thousands and thousands of bets of metadata, but from metadata from where and who delivered it? So to the supplemental draft thing, I don't think he's going to go in a supplemental draft, because I think the NFL is going to let this die down, because what does the NFL need? This is too hot of a topic right now. Yeah. In a year, he served his time. He's not placing bets anymore. Let the kid go and play. But by the way, I think Kessler has another avenue. You ready?
Okay.
This is my last thought. They're a union, and you can't deny employment. You can't deny employment in a union. If someone implies, you cannot deny them. So with that part being said, in my mind, I'm thinking Kessler's like, you know what? Even if we lose, we win, because then we can go after the NFL here and make different rules and rule changes. So this is going to be arguably. There have been a lot that's happened in college athletics. This one will be the most fascinating, because to see how every single little rule and detail comes out of this, Joe, is going to look. College sports, the landscape has been shook for the last 5 years. With all of the money that's being involved in this, I don't know if there's something that can be determined that will shake a landscape more than this. Does he get suspended? Is he out of eligibility? Does Kessler go after the NFL and saying you can't deny employment?
Yeah.
Those are all things that are going to be so fascinating. And by the way, this now does not just affect the college football space. This now affects the NFL if he wants to do that. And my question will be, does Roger Goodell and these commissioners come to some form of agreement on how they want to do things moving forward along with the NCAA?
Yeah, I do kind of think that the hiring of Kessler is supposed to be a double-edged sword, because if they do decide to go down the avenue of going against the NCAA and see if they can retain some sort of eligibility to finish the season, he's the guy to go with. He's also the guy to go with to go head-to-head with protecting him against the NFL. All of these things that he is going to be, the experience that he has in these arenas is why he was the perfect man to hire. But here's the one thing in my final bit on this. I think that one of the biggest mistakes that Sorsby's team made was being very public and direct with painting this as a gambling addiction. They were trying to do this as a means so that when they go to court against the NCAA,
They can argue mental health. We talked about this before, which is a smart avenue to try and go down and say, hey, he couldn't help himself. He has an addictive personality. We all have friends. I had one teammate in particular that I can remember that had a very addictive personality, and he got involved with a bunch of nothing bad, but whatever there was, like he would, the minute Fortnite came out in college, he spent the entire like 3 weeks. He didn't go to class. Seriously, he didn't go to class. And then he would find the next thing to get addicted to. We all have guys where it's not truly destructive.
Like, was it a kicker?
I'm not going to air out one of my teammates. I'm not going to air. I know because it's not. No. I can't. I'm not going to say it wasn't a kicker. It wasn't a kicker. I'm not going to air out one of my teammates like that. But we all know somebody that maybe won't be destructive to the degree where it'll completely ruin their lives, but they can't control themselves. It was smart to do that to try and defend him against the NCAA, but it was a gigantic mistake doing that with any prospects of him going to the NFL. He was getting first round recognition for this upcoming draft because there were not very many quarterbacks to pull from in 2026. Teams wanted him to enter because he was good enough of a prospect. But now you have all these franchises that are going to potentially consider taking him and using a pick in the supplemental draft with a huge risk attached to, can we trust this kid? You said that he has a gambling addiction. Can we trust that this kid in 3 years isn't going to get completely popped by another governing agency because he placed just a $5 bet on his team to win? That is a huge, gigantic no-no, no matter what the amount of money that's put down. I think that a lot of NFL teams are going to be really scared of touching this because of everything that we talked about. The current state of how things have been handled with both leagues, it is not setting up for a circumstance where he's going to have very many options. I do wonder, once this UFL season is over, does he end up going and playing in the UFL for a couple of years before he gets that shot in the league?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That might be his only path. Like, legitimately. I don't know when the CFL starts. I didn't even
think about that. You know, ironically enough, I thought Diego Pavia should do that. I do think that he should do that.
It might be a little too late, but
you're right.
A separate talk conversation.
Yeah. Now that you're saying that, I didn't even think about that. I mean, we've seen something like that happen before with Warren Moon, right? Like, we've seen situations like this. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks reinvent themselves. Let me just say this. It's not far-fetched for him to – he's got a lot of work in front of him.
Yes.
Like, so Joe and I know the lead guy that drafted a guy named Josh Hamilton. I don't know, Joe, like if you remember Josh Hamilton, play with the Rangers, whatever.
Yep.
And he had an addiction. And, you know, the guy that drafted him is a great friend of mine. Great friend of mine. Been on the show, whatever. And he's like, you know, we wind up hiring someone to not follow him, but to mentor him and be with him and be, you know, make sure he's not doing those things. Are there, if an NFL team does this, there's going to be so many guardrails in place. Like, you can put things on your phone that don't allow you to get on those apps to start off with.
Well, he could just be banned. They could just ban him. All the books could.
He can be banned. I mean, it's not far-fetched. And you know what? If I'm him, I'm requesting to be banned.
Well, but then, right. But then you hit the Kayshawn Boutte example where he goes through, if it's really an addiction, you're going to go through nefarious means in order to be able to do it.
Different circumstance. It was technically a family member that put his name on there and took some of his money, and he got
clear. But it goes to the example that if a guy really has an intention to do it, he's going to figure out a way. And I think that's where the NFL could be even more scared, is that if he goes through a bookie, and bookies historically have, we don't know if there's total truth to it, but you always hear stories from mobsters that say, like, this player owed me $50,000, so I told him that he had to fumble in the game. There's always those clips from those podcasts where, again, you don't know if it's true or not, but I think that the NFL would be more afraid of something like that happening, something that they can't monitor.
No, you're 1,000% right. And again, who's to say that he hadn't been doing that? I mean, we're only thinking he's a degenerate through apps. We don't know that. So I guess we'll see. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all your social media platforms. Do us a favor and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. If you go down below and subscribe, there's a lot of you in here right now. Do us a favor. Subscribe down below on the YouTube channel. Hit that retweet. All that good stuff. We greatly appreciate it. All right. Let's move forward here, Joe. We continue on our path. I feel like we haven't been here in 97 days, so I don't know if we continue on our path. We pick back up on our path as we continue on deep dives for college teams. Today, we go to the great state of Tennessee, and we go to Knoxville, Tennessee, and a team that we've talked about, Joe, I say a lot, considering we talk about teams nationally. We've talked about Tennessee a lot here. Today, we're going to go and dive into Tennessee. When you look at the Tennessee Volunteers, who 2 years ago went to a playoff, got beat by Ohio State, kind of took a little bit of a step back, lost four games this past year to ranked opponents in the SEC. Now people look at Tennessee and say, how is this season going to go with a lot of departures? Joe, when you look at Tennessee, you see what exactly?
Blake, I know that a lot of the discussion is going to center around the quarterback battle between George McIntyre and Faison Brandon. And we've spent some time talking about this. We've discussed our fears for why there is not a direct, immediate commitment to McIntyre if he's already been there and if he's as good as everybody hopes that he can be. Can you trust a true freshman in Faison Brandon if he does end up winning the job? I think that we need to discuss here, Blake, that this is a much better environment than I think many people realize for a young, inexperienced quarterback to step into. They have 13 returning starters. I always reference the article in CBS Sports that discusses the top returning starters for teams, and they're at the top of this list. They have 8 guys on offense, which is amazing fuel for a coach like Josh Heupel to have 8 guys coming back on offense that have started at least 6 games and 5 on defense. And the 5 on defense is an advantage, which I'm going to get to in a second. Like, the big reason why I think that we should maybe expect that whatever quarterback starts in a system that is easy to learn and easy to hit the ground running is the fact that they're bringing back such a really, really experienced and impactful offensive line group. They're also bringing back 2 really explosive, high-quality receivers in Mike Matthews and Braylon Staley. They're also bringing back a really good running back room led by DeShawn Bishop. Like, I think that the first and foremost, the big talking point about here that maybe we haven't focused on enough, this is one of the best environments for a youngster to have to get to play. We watched them take Nico to the college football playoff when he had a really up and down redshirt freshman season. So, Blake, to open this conversation, I want to start talking about here. We got to give respect to this unit, this offensive line with David Sanders, a former 5-star, Wendell Moe, who's one of the most underrated offensive linemen in the country, who's freaking hilarious and fun to watch because he's just forklifting dudes and planting them into the ground.
Torrey Williams played really good at LSU and is going to be really good at right tackle because Sanders is moving to left.
And you also have Pendleton, who came in from Notre Dame, who's played quite a bit and was a highly touted kid in the transfer portal. Blake, that's the big thing I want to start with here. I think we got to recognize that this is a really good environment for whoever plays quarterback, and maybe they don't need to lean on them as much as we were expecting.
So here's my thing. When I look at Tennessee, and I hate to repeat myself.
Yeah.
But what exactly is it that you're wanting me to tell you right now? Do I agree with you that I think Ori Williams was a hell of an addition, going to go to right tackle, David Sanders moving to left? You talked about Pendleton. I think offensive line-wise, and I think run game-wise, they're going to be more than fine. I think that, you know, we've seen Sanders a couple years ago break out, or Samson break out a couple years ago, led the SEC in rushing. We've seen them have a highly productive run game. And I think the biggest lie about Josh Heupel is that they're not a physical team and they don't like to run the football. Says who? I look at a lot of the things that you mentioned at wide receiver. They went out and got Matthews. They went out and got, they got a lot, like Staley returns. They got a lot of big time production and a lot of very young and explosive talent at wide receiver. However, I consider the back seven, before I say this, linebackers and DBs. People talk about front seven. I talk about back seven too. Joe, you got 9 dudes out of the portal in your back seven. Now, I don't think they can be much worse, right? Like, I don't think that their secondary, who was horrendous last year, can be much worse. They've had a lot of turnover. Jim Knowles comes there. But, Joe, I can't not think of the quarterback situation. I cannot not think, that's too negative, so I guess it's a positive, but I can't not think of the quarterback position. Joe, this entire game, this entire league revolves around really good quarterback play. I mean, like, that's where teams make or get really make it or break it. It's how Ole Miss got there. And if you want to be blunt, it's how Miami got there in the end. Who scored the touchdown and who had the last second drive to beat Ole Miss? Who had to get the touchdown drive against A&M? It was Carson Beck in Miami. Carson Beck's interception against Indiana lost them the national championship game. Drew Allar a couple years ago against Notre Dame is unable to perform, and Notre Dame goes to a national championship. Will Howard goes 16 of 17 in the first half against Notre Dame. They win an Natty. And you want me to come in here and believe that something that I don't know, a walk-on from Colorado starts a spring game, which, why would you not run out McIntyre if there wasn't something going on? I understand Brandon not being there. Joe, there's going to have to be a lot of growth and development at that quarterback position that I don't know if anybody in that room is ready. I like their offensive line. I like their wide receiver room. I like their tight end room. I like their running backs. I actually like what they did in their front seven. I like what, to some extent, a lot of the guys they brought in at backer and a lot of guys they brought in their DB room. But why should I talk about that when you're going to have to run out a quarterback that is not probably ready for this situation? And I think Tennessee fans are going to have to realize you're going to have to be a run game and you're going to have to be a defensive unit to win games very early and very often. And the up-tempo style of how Heupel likes to do things cannot happen. You're going to have to be more of 2024 than what you've been under Heupel in the past.
So, okay, here's my bit that I'm trying to set the stage here for. I understand the concern at quarterback that we've got two guys that are youngsters that are barely played. We have zero idea what to expect from them. You have had multiple times over guys step in their first full year starting that have produced gaudy numbers, or at the very least played solidly enough that the rest of the team around them have been able to help them secure wins. So you have Hendon Hooker, who played at a very, very high level, was very, very gifted, looked awesome. He was probably the best quarterback that we can think of in the Heupel era. Joe Milton, who's a bit robotic, played well enough for them to be one of the top teams in the SEC this upcoming, or top teams in the SEC when he was there. And then you have Nico, which is the better, more comparable example. We could bring up Aguilar, the fact that he put up huge numbers and his turnovers went down a little bit from the ridiculous amount of poor decisions that he had at App State. I think that that's a really good example actually to use and to discuss, because a player that nobody really knew what he was capable of statistically was one of the better quarterbacks in the country. You have, with Nico, an example of a guy who had a lot of tools, had a lot of hype, stepped in, played really well to start his career at Tennessee, and then started to really, really tail off and struggle as he had more opportunities throughout his first full season as a redshirt freshman. And while he, despite the fact that he was struggling, he didn't have a single game except for the UT Chattanooga game where he threw for over 300 yards. He has multiple games, a ton of games. He actually has one. He had one, two, three. He had three games that he threw for over 200 yards in his redshirt freshman season. The way that they were able to win, Blake, was the fact that they ran the ball really well with Dylan Sampson. And I think that Deshaun Bishop is going to be capable because there's not much of a separation in terms of traits between Sampson and Bishop.
And he's
they
can't really get good. God, he's so good.
I think that he's a better prospect coming into the league than Sampson was. But this is partially going to hinge on defensively, can the back end improve because their secondary was a liability at times. They're bringing back a lot of talented linebacker. I really liked Amari Campbell from Penn State when he came in from North Carolina into Penn State. And I do think that Jim Knowles is a better defensive coordinator than people give him credit for because things went disastrously bad last season when he was at Penn State. To get back to my main point here, like I think that this roster is good enough to support a quarterback that doesn't have that much on their shoulders. And for what we watched in every single week, we kept coming in here and saying, man, Nico is just not ready for the moment. He's just not ready for the moment. And they still reach the college football playoff. I wonder if that's capably possible for them to do something similar. I'm not sitting here saying, and I don't think anyone should believe or expect that they win the SEC and they go on to get to a national championship. That shouldn't be on a Tennessee fan's radar. But for them to go 9-3 this upcoming year and for that to possibly maybe be a floor for them because they've got so much experience and talent at other positions, I don't think that's at the outside of the realm of possibility, nor do I think it's a ludicrous thing to state.
No, it's not. But at the end of the day, though, Joe, you have to get into a situation where you get to a place where I agree with the run game. I agree with the offensive line. I agree with you in your front seven and back seven determinations. I don't think that they're holistically, I don't think they're a bad team. I think they got a lot of talent. I think their coaching staff is really good. I like Heupel. I like Knowles. I think they do a fantastic job, and they will do a fantastic job. Where's Chas Coleman? What is he going to give you? I mean, where is that locker room? And Joe, we saw a team last, let's call it what it is for Tennessee. Tennessee had Bama on the ropes. They had him on the ropes. Then Joey Aguilar started turning the ball over all over the place. They had Georgia on the ropes. The SEC champion on the ropes a year ago. They should have won both of those games. I'm not saying that they're more talented, and I'm not saying they're less talented. But they were right there. And what did not help them get over that hump? And then what helped them get over that hump when a couple of years ago, they were there? The only thing that helped them was that they didn't have to go through all of that gauntlet, and they beat Alabama because it's Jalen Milroe and a new year and all that kind of stuff. Like, I get all of that. But Hendon Hooker had to perform. Nico Iamalava, I mean, didn't really do much, but the defense performed. Last year, they could not sustain. Why? They could have been a playoff team if they beat both of those teams. How? If Joey Aguilar didn't turn the ball over, and now you want me to look at a quarterback who, Joe, we know what about. No one on planet Earth knows what Faison Brandon can be as a true freshman. Him walking in there and taking over and doing it in the SEC is unrealistic. Not saying he can't do it, but it's unrealistic. And, Joe, I go to the whole George McIntyre situation and just say to myself, then why didn't you start him in the spring game? Why? You don't have a second portal window.
Well, I don't always know if that's...
Why not give him the live reps with the ones? What happened? And then here's my second. Well, Heupel didn't want to show anything. Show what? It's not on television. What were you showing? There's nothing to show. There's not a second portal window. Why do you not prepare the kid for exactly what's coming for him? Why? You know who didn't hold anything back? Your biggest rival, Alabama. They threw Keelan Russell right into the fire and said, hey, buddy, you better have at it. Oh, and by the way, we're blitzing you. You know who else did it? Marcus Freeman. Hey, CJ. Hey, knock, knock, knock. CJ Carr, not today. You ain't doing it on us today. And they blitzed him all night. His own team. So I'm sorry. I'm out on Tennessee. I am out. Do I think that they have an overall really good team? Ironically, yes. I think they got a really good team. But until I see what's going on at quarterback, Joe, I can't do it.
I just think that you're reading into the Staub thing, I think, a little bit too much. I understand it that he had possession.
Humor me. How am I reading into it so much that George McIntyre, damn near the entire spring camp, doesn't run out there with the ones? Please explain to me how you make that statement when a guy who hasn't been there for 3 months gets the first reps.
I think that the concept that you just presented, I think it's so I'm not saying your concept is ridiculous. I'm saying that the concept of starting Staub is such an illogical move that it almost seems like that it's, I'm trying to think how I want to phrase this.
Well, he's not going to start.
He's not going to start. To be some sort of motive that we don't know.
Was he turning the ball over too much?
My framing of it is that the battle is between Brandon and it is between McIntyre, and that he doesn't want either of those guys to feel like that either one is ahead of the other in order for them to remain motivated. And I think that you understand that Staub absolutely, without a doubt, will be the backup quarterback, that no matter who wins, that you want to be able to have Staub. So you want to get him the few rare opportunities to get him reps. I don't know. I'm kind of guessing here. I understand what you're saying, that, yeah, absolutely. When you don't have a defined quarterback winner in the quarterback battle and nobody who's played that we know what they're going to be capable of doing, like, yeah, we should be bringing that up as a concern. It is a concern. I'm merely just trying to state here that you have enough key pieces to buy into offensively for this team to shift its identity, to run the ball more, to, if you need to, that young quarterback can rely on Matthews and they can rely on Staley. What does TK Keys do? Can he step in and actually be a high-impact freshman? There was a high belief that he is one of those freshmen that could be really special as an early five-star that gets onto the field. And I think that Knowles, as we mentioned, bringing a lot of his guys from Penn State, and once Coleman gets his situation figured out, which it was revealed that he was dealing with vertigo, which is a lot more explainable of a situation of why he had to step away from football. It's a really difficult thing to deal with if you have a head problem, obviously.
It is not fun to deal with.
No. Hopefully, and for his health, if he gets back into the mix, this team has a lot of potential. Their secondary was really inconsistent, and I think that them getting Kay and Lee is a guy that we are going to be talking about is a huge addition for them for that secondary. To me, the big thing hinges on, I'm almost less worried about quarterback, Blake, which might sound absurd to you, because I know what's going to happen. I have an example of what they got out of Nico in a quarterback-friendly system. I have less of an understanding of what will happen with the secondary. To me, their success hinges on if their secondary can be better from a year ago, that they can be more disruptive defensively from a year ago, because that will be what they can lean on when that young quarterback ends up struggling. Because 2 years ago with Nico, their defense was one of the best in the SEC. It was deep. They had a lot of different bodies that they could turn to. They had a lot of really good rotations. So I just don't think that, like, there's as much that we should be totally, truly freaked out about of all places at Tennessee when Heupel has gotten the most out of guys that maybe weren't prepared to start.
Okay, well, now let's go through their schedule, because now let's roll through there and you tell me where you think they're going to win then. Because the truth of the matter is this schedule is brutal.
It's a hard schedule. These are the games, as we always do, the games that should be wins. Furman, they should beat Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech. Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State. I think that they're going to beat Auburn at home. First year in the SEC for Golesh at home. We're talking about at home in Neyland, at Arkansas, and versus Vandy. maybe could be a little bit of a toss-up, but I think that with the reset that they're going through, that they should beat Vandy. The tough matchups that I think that could present some really big challenges for them. We're going to talk a lot about Kentucky. I think Kentucky's better than people are ready for.
And
going to South Carolina. South Carolina is going to be better this upcoming year. These are the four games that make or break if they're capable of winning nine games this upcoming season. Texas versus Alabama at Texas A&M and versus LSU.
Joe, I don't see him beating LSU. I don't see him beating A&M. I got to be real with you. I think they're going to split South Carolina or Kentucky, because going into South Carolina at night, and I be blunt with you, I think Kendall Briles is going to get the most out of Lenore Sellers. So I think they split that one. I don't think they beat Bama, and they're not going to beat Texas, and I got to be real with you. Maybe they split, and maybe they take two from Auburn and Arkansas. Let's just say hypothetically they take two. That's a 7-5. That's a 7-5 record at best. And then now you're wanting me to not know the quarterback situation, to say okay, that you're going to outduel Arch Manning in that offense. You want me to believe that you're going to outduel Marcel Reed at Texas A&M. Not happening. I don't think they're going to outduel Bama. And I sure as hell think that they're going to split the one between South Carolina and Kentucky. So with that part being said, Joe, there are five games on here that undeniably for me that I do. And by the way, I've seen LSU up close and personal. Joe, I'm going to tell you right now, if you have bad quarterback, ask Hassan Longstreet about if you start throwing into coverage, what's going to happen. Because I think they have one of the best, if not the best secondary in the SEC. So, again, yes, I think they're a talented team. But I just don't know with the gauntlet that they're going about to go through in the SEC that they can win. I don't.
I recognize that this is not an easy schedule.
Let me say this. But I do think they'll be very competitive in all of those games. I just don't think that the quarterback play is going to be good enough to lead them over. Now, to your point with Nico, because I've been waiting to hit it, in that 2024 year, they had the weakest strength of schedule in the SEC that year. The weakest. They played Alabama. They missed Georgia. Like, they didn't have to go. They're missing Georgia again. So, first year of Mike Elko. Like, they got beat on the road at Arkansas. Was their first road game of the year, and they went into Fayetteville and got beat by Sam Pittman. So, again, that's not – you're going through a tougher schedule in this situation. Joe, I see at minimum five losses.
I think that there are too many games that you're assuming are guaranteed losses that I think they're capable of going to war and possibly winning. I'm not disagreeing that this is a hard schedule. I just believe that the core of players that they have along their O-line, their D-line, at linebacker, at wide receiver, at running back, is strong enough for them to win these close games. And frankly, the game, some of these opponents that you're guaranteeing as automatic losses for them.
Okay.
I think that there's, wait, hold on. I think that there are huge question marks. To be frank, I don't think it's a guarantee that they lose to LSU. I still don't know for certain, which we're going to do the LSU preview probably on Wednesday. I don't fully know what LSU is going to be this first year.
Okay, then don't give them LSU.
I also, even though that it's at Texas A&M, there are gigantic question marks for what we should expect from Texas A&M offensively losing trying to replace him. And I also don't think the one game that I will concede that I don't think that there's a chance that they lose or that they win. I don't think that they're beating Texas. I think that Texas is too good. I think that Texas is too prepared to win the SEC this year. But Alabama, at the same time, additionally, last time I can remember, a big, big game at home at Neyland when they faced off against Bryce Young with Hendon Hooker in his big year. Anything can happen home game against Alabama at Neyland.
Hendon Hooker is a totally winnable game through that door.
But Blake, my point is that Alabama has a lot in flux at the current moment. Alabama is resetting in a number of areas.
And I have more faith in them right now with what I saw from Keelan Russell than what I do that anything that they have at quarterback right now. So if
Tennessee has a better supporting cast than Alabama does on offense. They're bringing back four offensive linemen, and they're bringing in a key transfer as well. I think that the Tennessee offensive line's actually, I'll be very direct. I think that they're significantly better than Alabama's offensive line. That shouldn't be a hot take.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a hot take. But at the same time, you can't run the ball all day, and then you can start stacking the box and take it away from them. And at some point, one of those quarterbacks has got to make a throw to win the game. This isn't Paul Johnson. This isn't the triple option. This isn't like I get what you're saying, and that's why I say they're going to be competitive. At the end of the day, however, at the end of the day, quarterback play matters more than anything else, and I don't think they have it. I think at best they're 8-14, and I would concede LSU fine. But the last time Lane walked off in there and they started throwing mustard bottles and they started throwing golf balls at his ass, he whipped that candy ass too. So at the same time, I'll be blunt. I have more faith in Hassan Longstreet off of what I just saw than I have anything in those quarters.
But you're at LSU practices. You get the context of seeing Longstreet.
Let me tell you why I do. Because Lane ran him out there and gave him those reps. What did Josh Heupel not do? And by the way, it's not as if George McIntyre went up with the second unit with guys like Tristan Keyes. They couldn't score. If he's your starting quarterback, you mean to tell me he can't go against a second team score?
It's spring football. Spring football has never been an indicator of what is truly, truly going to happen. It's something that we can extract positives from.
BS. If you can't move the football, then there is something to take away. You can't move the football.
Why can't we be talking about how their defense took a step? Like, there's two sides to every single coin.
Threw two picks.
None of that gets no credit goes towards the defense improving.
No. Pause. I'm not going to name the quarterback. There was a quarterback that's a starting quarterback that is considered a Heisman Trophy winner. In the spring football game, he went out there and threw two picks. What's the narrative on that guy? What was the narrative that came out?
Who are you talking about?
No, you should know. We just got done talking about his crazy ass. And CJ Carr. The narrative came out, CJ Carr looks unprepared. He doesn't look like he took a step.
But that's why the premise is ridiculous. That's why nobody in Notre Dame circles is overreacting to what CJ Carr did. Nobody in Notre Dame that thinks that CJ Carr is in trouble. He went out there and treated it like a spring game. He took a bunch of shots and chances. That's why we can't extrapolate performance from a spring game. We could get excited about play. Young guys stepping up. I think that 8-4 and possibly 9-3 is on the table for this team. I don't think they're a playoff team.
We're yelling over a win.
Yeah, that's the point of the show.
Okay. Do you want to get to this G6 thing, or you want to punt it until Wednesday?
We can punt it until Wednesday. We can get to that on Wednesday.
All right. We do have a couple of super chats that are in here, but first we got to get to
Aaron.
Look at Grish. CBS Sports College Football says, heard you guys have a big announcement. I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything?
Yeah.
It's not like we're trending on Twitter or anything.
I got so caught up in the argument with you, I completely forgot that happened today. What are we doing?
Elks with a $2 super chat says, I better see y'all guest on Cover 3 Pod. We don't turn down anybody.
And I'm sure that we're a big thing that we talked about with the folks at 24/7 that we
corporate. Let's call them corporate.
Okay. One of the things that we already discussed and we're going to probably have a lot of guests on. So any opportunities that we'll probably be taking on a lot of guests from the 24/7 pages. And I listen to Cover 3 all the time. So it'd be cool if we got one of those guys on. We haven't gone that far in, but
I don't think me and Danny Cannell could make it 5 minutes without starting to argue.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we'd love to have Bud Elliott and all those guys on. We look forward to having them on in the future, for sure. All right. Thank you all for being a part of it. It was a huge announcement for us today. We greatly appreciate it, and we will see you again on Wednesday. Peace.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep. it's key.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Kenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?